Back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener, Mike Raley here, along with Rufus Edmonston. Gerald Adams is also with us, and we're at Briar Point, 55-plus independent living resort community, a very luxurious place here this morning. Rufus, you were talking with a retired FBI agent, and you missed the whole Johnny Cash
open. Oh, my goodness.
Open.
I normally sing with Johnny Cash. Oh, well, but it was more interesting with the former FBI.
That's why I did not interrupt.
Yes.
Oh, we, gosh, well, there's so many interesting people here, so many interesting backgrounds. Audrey?
Right.
It's so nice to have a gardener. You're probably not the only one here interested in gardening, but it sounds like you had quite a place at your private home there.
Well, I did. And
tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. When I moved there, the house was 5 years old. And there was a small garden in the front, which I every year I got a bunch of mulch, a truckload.
Yeah,
and in my driveway,
unusual.
And they said, we know where Audrey lives, it's where the mulch is. But I started gardens all around. And, you know, our dirt is clay. And you can't really dig a hole and plant something in it because it drowns, because it doesn't drain. So every time I planted something, I had to, you know, get mulch, put it in, dig the hole, and then mix the dirt with the mulch and whatever else I had. I even forget what else I would put in there before I would plant something. And another thing I did in the fall, when there was a place that I wanted to change into gardens, like on the side of the house, I would cover it with grass clippings. And they would rot down and kill the grass over the winter. And then in the spring, I would get mulch and mix everything up, and then I could plant things.
What were some of your favorite plants there?
Oh,
you mentioned off the air crepe myrtles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had one of each color.
Oh, wow. How about that?
Yeah. I just want one of everything.
Yeah.
Well, did you have the one that has the crimson-colored bark?
I didn't have that one.
You know, I've always loved crepe myrtles. My place is named Myrtle Manor, and when the leaves are off, I love the crepe myrtle form just as much as I do. Yeah. With the leaves on and
some
the blooms.
Some of them have really extraordinary fall color.
Oh, yeah. And they're so beautiful.
They are.
Yeah. And then daylilies. I had all different kinds of daylilies.
Good for you. We have a listener who calls us quite often, who is with the Hemericallis Society here, and he has hundreds of daylilies.
Yeah, quite a garden. There are. So they're all kinds of, you know. And every year in the spring, I would get the catalogs out.
Oh, what fun.
I've heard that so much on this show.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nice
sent away
early winter thing.
And in the fall, I planted daffodils.
Yeah.
And there are probably 10 different kinds of daffodils, all different colors, pink daffodils.
Yeah.
And actually here in my big pots here, in the fall, I planted daffodils.
Yeah, a lot of people do container gardening now.
Well, here, I have to.
You have to here, but, you know, a lot of people do at their private residence, it makes it pretty easy. If you have a large enough container.
Yeah. And flowering shrubs, azaleas. Mm-hmm. I had several different kinds of azaleas.
Did you have camellias?
I had a beautiful camellia.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pink like a rose.
They're not native, but they're very happy here.
And then I had the other kind, too. I had two different kinds of camellias.
Yeah.
I think I had a little bit of everything, almost.
Good for you.
Not almost.
Well, you know, that really is some of the better gardeners say that you shouldn't have monocultures, that you should have all kinds of plants.
Yeah.
You know, try something new.
Yeah, and then irises, too. There are all irises that bloom again.
Yes, ma'am. There are lots of plants now that do that.
And azaleas do that, too.
Yes, ma'am.
Encores. Encores are wonderful.
Yep. Uh-huh.
The encore azaleas are blooming nicely at my house right now.
Yeah,
yeah. I might mention, you mentioned daylilies. I remember that today is the daylily sale at the J.C. Ralston Arboretum. I wrote it in my little fertilizer book here.
Well, great. I'm sure we'll hear from Steve about that.
I have a daylily that came from my mother 30 years ago that I still have and took it one time to get it identified at a daylily show.
Uh-huh.
And by chance, somebody said, why don't you enter that in the show? And I got a doggone blue ribbon, and I was happiest I've ever
really
been in my life.
Daylily.
Yeah.
So. Now, I grew up in a little small town in Hazleton, Pennsylvania, and my aunt next door was gardeners, and there was a tiger lily. And our family moved to New Jersey, we dug it up and took it with us. And every place that I moved, I took a piece of it with me. So,
pass along plants. Yeah.
But I still have to go back to my house and tell the guy who bought my... The guy who bought my house was a single guy who knows nothing about gardening.
Oh.
But I want to go back, and I want a piece of that tiger lily.
I'm sure he would let you do that.
I'm sure he would, too.
What's the best time of year to do that, Gerald?
Probably spring or coming up here in the next 30 days. Either early fall or early spring.
Get the FBI guy to go with you.
He probably still has a badge.
That's right.
Now we'll badge him.
He is a big hosta guy. Tell him how many kinds of hostas did you have?
Wow.
My goodness. Here? On the premises?
Oh, no, in his house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Golly.
One of the best shaped perennials ever.
It is. If you keep slugs away, you're in business, and they're such beautiful colors.
That and voles.
Yeah, voles. Yeah, yes. Voles like it, too. Well, Audrey, what a nice, so nice of you to share that with us.
I would like to know a little bit more about your program.
Well, this show has been on the air since 1945.
Okay.
And I took over, a professor from NC State did it, hosted it from 1945 to 1985. But it was only a 15-minute show, and he would work with whoever was the morning disc jockey on Saturdays, and I was in 1985, so I did the show with him, and he retired, and so they didn't want the show to go away. We just changed the name to the Weekend Gardener. It was the Tar Heel Gardener, and we got an extension agent from Wake County to come in, and we extended it to a half hour and took callers, telephone callers. And it's extended over the years, the last 40 years, to 3 hours. So, we're on every morning from 8 until 11 o'clock. And we have been, so you've missed a lot of shows if you haven't heard it. But you can listen to a bunch of them if you have access to podcasts on your phone.
Uh-huh.
Apple Podcasts, you can look up The Weekend Gardener and there, you know, 600-700 shows in there. Not all of them.
It's 680 on your AM dial.
Yeah, 680 AM.
680.
Yeah, 92.9 FM. And but you can.
And it's simulcast on the website, too.
Yeah, so you can listen.
Sometimes call live from Denver.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, I was.
Because they're listening on the computer or
I was in Dubrovnik, Croatia last May, and I called the show, and I could hear it as clear as a bell on my phone from WPTF.com. Hmm. So you can hear it anywhere, and so I want you to become a listener.
And then a caller.
Yeah.
And in the car, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But thank you very much, Audrey.
Does that
answer your question about the show?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will look forward to listening to you.
Please do. And call us sometime.
All right. I can call you with questions?
Yes.
Oh, of course, because we're getting ready to take one right now, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
If I can figure out the name of the caller here. Phil is in Garner. Phil, good morning. You're at WPTF.
Good morning from Garner, USA. How are you guys doing?
We couldn't be much better, Phil. I hope you're well in that beautiful town.
Oh, yeah. Had a little rain this morning, and I've called you guys from time to time and all about peach trees and some other things. You've been a valuable help to me. And I'm a city councilman over here, so I'm going to promote Garner, by the way. So.
Well, I appreciate that, Phil. You don't need to promote it, because everybody knows about it, but you tell us about it. If you need to. Y'all got so much going on over there. Such a growing community, and people are so loyal to Garner.
Absolutely. And your morning DJ, he lives over this way.
Chris Edwards, he's one of the finest people I know.
Sidekick Harrison. So
yeah, Harrison's sitting right here.
He is. Well,
he's sitting right here, as Andy Griffith would say.
Right hand.
Yeah.
But there's a couple things I want to ask you about. You know,
right.
Y'all helped me so much on my peach trees. And it was a couple of years ago, we were going down to Myrtle Beach, and on the highway, just before you get there, on that intersection there, there's a peach orchard, and they sell these beautiful peaches, and they were great. And we brought some of the seed back, and my sister said, plant them in the dirt in a pot and see what happens. And I did. And next thing you know, I had some saplings come up, and I transplanted them and got them in the yard. They're not that big yet. And I did another one last year, and this one in the pot is, almost 2 feet high. And I guess my question is, I want to plant this thing, but when would be the best time that I should plant this little peach tree?
In the next 60 days.
In the next 60 days?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Really, any time now. I mean, it's either plant it now in the fall or wait the spring. But even though it'll go dormant after it frosts on it, it still can put on roots this fall. A little bit during the winter and take off in the spring, and it'll just be if you wait to plant it, say in April, you're going to definitely have to water it a little bit more, because it'll be putting on that new growth right through the heat of summer. So
October might be the time to do it then.
Yes, sir. And you probably won't have to water it but a couple of times, and then it'll be fine until it leaves back out in the spring.
Okay.
Well, then let me give you a little hint. When you get up and you produce some peaches, for goodness sakes, clean up under it. Don't ever leave any down there.
Was that your downfall?
I had peaches 2 years in a row, and I didn't clean up, and it cankered up with the worst thing I've ever seen.
I lost a tree today. You gave me that advice a couple of years ago, I have not forgotten it. Let me ask you a pear question. You've got two big pear trees, and it produces, not Bartlett's, but they're green, then they turn a little bit gold, and the crops have been fabulous, and this year has not been any different. However, the pears, for some reason, seem like I thought they would be a lot sweeter than they are. Is it lack of water, or they're beautiful pears, but it's not quite that sweet pear taste that I've been normally looking for?
Lack of water or too much water can affect the flavor, and sometimes the heat. We had a really, really hot June.
Yes, we did.
And I've had a number of people about various vegetables that they grow and some fruit complain about, well, I've grown this for 10 years and it just don't taste quite the same this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of it had to do with those young fruit having to struggle in that heat when they were first started, coming on the plant.
Right.
So if I had to point to one thing, it would probably be this really, really hot June that we had this year. And I think that's just a kind of a one-off thing, and next year that shouldn't be an issue.
great.
Unless we have that same kind of weather again, but who knows around here?
You know, it is Carolina weather. And my
That's
final
right.
thing, we got something new. Speaking of new in Garner, we love these guys. We now have, right up the street from my house, across from Lake Benson Park, that's where we have our annual 3rd of July celebration. This was the old strawberry farm years back, goes back to the Buffaloes. But the grandsons, they have created a farm out there, and they've got probably about 10 live alpacas in a pasture out there. And so I guess Garner's going to be known now for the town of alpacas. But
that's great. You know, that's quite an industry now.
You see them
all over. Mm-hmm.
And they got a little ice cream truck out there and all kinds of things. The kids are coming and having a blast. So I told them they need to get you guys down there one Saturday. So
Rufus, in addition to your roadside stand, you could have an alpaca and sell some ice cream, too, and hot dogs.
I believe it. Whatever happened to that White Deer Park?
The White Deer Park is alive and well. Matter of fact, it's right next door to the White Deer Park. And if you're coming out of Lake Benson Park, you're right straight across the road. You're running right into this one, and White Deer joins it right across the road from Lake Benson. We've got two White Deer. Somebody donated a second one in the Nature House down there. So we're not sure if they're male or female. I have not inquired, but they're mounted quite well and seem to be happy down there.
Mm-hmm. Rufus, did you speak there or something? Is that why you're familiar with it?
Yeah, I remember the White Deer. Certainly did.
I didn't try to ride it.
I remember one time when I was Attorney General, every time I would talk to an SBI agent, I'd say, well, where do you live? Garner.
Yeah.
I never seen as many SBI agents in my life from Garner.
They still do. And that White Deer, I won't keep you dragging out here, but the White Deer was infamous. I'd come home from a town council meeting, and generally you'd see her, it was a female, hanging around Lake Benson Park, right in that area, at night. And so got to be well known. And unfortunately, some guy run over one night, and it worried him to death. He's so bad he turned himself in because he's afraid everybody's going to kill him, killing that deer. But we wound up mounting it and put it in a little park. Before we did, at the auditorium in the garden, we had a ceremony for the White Deer. You thought it was a funeral. And the funny part about it is Warner Powell, bless his heart, he's not around anymore, but he put it in the back of a pickup, and we had a looked like a funeral procession from the auditorium down to the park where the new home was going to be, and four-way zone lights on. People thought a funeral procession was coming through to pull off the road, and all you could see was that White Deer in the back of the pickup. I never laughed so much. And I said, only in my hometown of Garner could we do that. But the deer is doing well. We've got a partner, and we named the park after him. So a lot of good things going on over here in Garner. We're growing, and like every other town, and I certainly enjoy your show, and one day, Rufus, you and I got a pick and grin. I mean, one time.
Yeah, I remember joining you one time down there from a couple of events.
Yep.
In our past careers.
That's right. Mr. Matthews, you were a commissioner, too, at one
yes,
time.
Yes, I am.
Wake County Commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And, love Wake County and Garner. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, you sure do. And we do, too. And I appreciate you calling. We always enjoy it when you call.
My pleasure. And y'all have a wonderful weekend. I hope we get a little more of that rain that we're
getting. Yeah, you get those peaches straightened out now.
I'll do my best. It's an uphill climb.
Thank you, sir.
Have a good one now. Take care.
You too. Bye. Phil Matthews, who is a former county commissioner in Wake County and been on the town council in Garner for a good while. Yeah, peaches are not easy to grow, Gerald.
No, they're a little difficult around here. It's not a planet and go out and pick the fruit. You're going to have to spray fungicides and do all sorts of things if you want to get fruit not full of worms and everything in the world. So it's for me, it's easier to go to the farmer's market and purchase some.
And apples are the same way. Now, I grew up, I mean, everybody had, a lot of people had apple trees in their yard, if it was big enough in Nashville.
Got to have the right variety here.
And, you know, you walk by and pick a green apple off as a kid or something. And
hit somebody upside the head.
Hit them or throw it or maybe eat it. Because, it's like a fresh apple in the fall is nice. But, you're right. You have to be careful what variety you grow around here, and you have to prune them properly in the winter, and you have to, you do have to spray, and that can, that takes a lot of work.
It does.
Got to have the right equipment, and you know, sometimes you have to have a chemical license, or you have to pay somebody to do that. So, I mean, if you want a good crop, and I don't know, it's not worth messing with, is it? Well, just go to Rufus's roadside stand.
Yeah. Up home, I remember we would have.
You got about 20 seconds.
Apple canning time, and everybody would go to Cove Creek School, and they would can applesauce. And it didn't matter what the apple looked like, as long as it was good inside. And I think people think they have to have a perfect apple. Well, you don't have to have a perfect apple to make applesauce.
No, definitely not. All right. Gosh, an hour and a half we've already gone through. More of the Weekend Gardener coming up here at WPTF. We're at Briar Point, 55-plus independent living resort here in Morrisville. All right, we're back on WPTF. We're in Morrisville this morning at Briar Point, 55 independent living resort. Weekly housekeeping, concierge, valet parking, grandkids room, pharmacy, bank, pets. They really, you know, they really have it all in a magnificent area where we're located. Has a waterfall. So, and we have a retired FBI agent with us. There are people of all kinds. Burke Uzzle, a world-famous photographer. People of all types here. And, Jay, you're a gardener, too. I understand you have a lot of hostas, or did when you were in your home, your private home. Tell us about those hostas and your love. Why hosta?
Well, we had a shady yard.
Ah,
so
yeah.
We got into hosta, joined the Potomac Hosta Club, which is about, we probably had 50, 75 members. So I started planting hostas, and I lived in the house over 40 years.
So I was up in Virginia?
Virginia, right. So hostas were a normal thing to grow, but down here, too much sun.
Yeah,
it's a little bit harder to get them to grow.
It is. You've really got to find a shady yard, and it's a little warmer here, but they're unbelievable. They put on real show with their flowers and with their foliage. I particularly like some of the bluer leafed ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they're all kind of variegation, a lot of variegated varieties. Did you have any favorite ones?
Yeah, I like a lot of the gold ones, the fragrant bouquets, mm-hmm. the lighter shaded greens.
Yeah.
You can really get a lot of different combinations of, excuse my voice, but I'm just getting over something.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling, but you look fine.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
I'm glad you're feeling. There's all kinds of stuff.
You got
I just had a flu and COVID shot a few days ago, and so I'm ready.
But you got some real hostile people down here.
They're I don't know if you've had a chance to go to Tony Avent's place.
Yes.
Tony, mm-hmm. Tony knows his hosta.
Oh, yeah. He's got an interesting place.
He has. He was on this show very early in its existence, and we've known Tony for a long time. But are hostas hard to grow for people who haven't tried?
No. They're very easy to grow. Don't require a lot of maintenance, and they'll come back every year.
Not much pests with them either that I've noticed.
Slugs.
No disease I've ever had. Never had disease.
Slugs occasionally, but the deer are the biggest problem.
Oh, yeah. So did you have a deer problem up there?
No, residential. I had occasionally deer come through, but no problem.
That would be a dessert for a deer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I guess it would.
Absolutely.
Well, have you ever visited the J.C. Ralston Arboretum in Raleigh?
No.
They've got a little hosta place there. Mm-hmm. And over at the North Carolina Botanical Gardens at Chapel Hill, that would be a good trip for you.
Yeah. And Duke Gardens. You should
Sarah did
make
it.
An
been
effort.
Been there many times.
But the Arboretum, the Ralston Arboretum, is basically an NC State laboratory. They mm-hmm. test plants for the nursery industry, and it's magnificent. It really is. They have you know, it's a fun place to visit. So it's near the state fairgrounds. It's a little hard to access it right now because of all the construction. But it's open daily, and if you get a chance, okay, please go there. Sure. It's really pretty any time of season. So I need
to give Green Hill Farms a plug.
Oh, yeah.
Hill and Bob Solberg up in Green Hill in Franklinton.
Yeah.
Yep. He's the head of the Hosta Growers of America organization.
Uh-huh. So have you gotten involved with it down here any?
No. Huh?
Yeah, I guess you don't have really a chance.
No,
you
I know Solberg, but I haven't been over at his new place.
Yeah. So you were really into it up there if you knew a lot of Hosta people.
Yeah, I knew him. He used to come up and speak to our club and had a lot of contact with him.
Yeah. Did you have any problems with slugs or snails?
Not really.
Yeah.
No, they're pretty resistant.
Yeah, it sounds like a perfect place for them. Were there any other plants that you enjoyed growing?
Boxwoods, English box.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, you had a long time to watch them, but about a quarter an inch a year.
I know. Well, I was there 40 years, so they got
almost grown.
Almost, yeah.
Did you have them, how did you have them displayed? Were they?
The flower beds were lined with brick, and then the
kind of Williamsburg, or
very much so.
Or
and,
so
the boxwoods sort of lined all the flower beds.
Yeah.
So I got over 100 boxwoods. It wasn't that big a property, only about a half acre.
Yeah. Those things, I remember at one time, boxwoods, English boxwood, were very valuable, the large ones.
That's right.
People like to transplant those things. Well, I appreciate so much you're taking the time to talk to us.
Glad to do it.
Yeah.
Even if I had to follow Audrey.
No. You held up very well, Jay, both your voice and your knowledge.
Well, thank you very
much. And your knowledge.
It was nice meeting you
all. And thanks
for
your service to this nation.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. All right. That's Jay. He's a former FBI agent and an avid hosta gardener. And absolutely. Take all you want. The hostas are some of my favorite. You know, it's so ironic. Those camellias that grow on they look like they're in full sun on the side of our building,
mm-hmm,
and the hostas that grow.
But
it's the north side. They're right up against the building, and they have flourished. It's so odd not to see them in full shade. But it's so bright out there. But they're not getting that direct sun. So they're, it's nice to have shade, and I think hostas look better in shade, but I think they probably thrive in shade. Do you have a lot of hosta at your place?
Not a lot, but I have one that has that stalk about a foot and a half tall, with those dark blue flowers. I love that boy, a girl, whichever it is.
And Gerald, do you grow hostas?
I don't have any at home. No. My son has some up at his place in Virginia, Vienna, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
He's got a real shady backyard, so they've worked out really good.
I bought a shortwave radio in Vienna, Virginia. There used to be a place that sold ham and shortwave and all kinds of stuff up there in Vienna. And I drugged my wife. We were in Washington visiting my wife, and I insisted that we divert off 95 to go to Vienna. It's pretty down there.
Yes, it is, and it's another area that's really, really grown up.
Yeah, it used to be, seemed like a long way from Washington, but, it's one of those places. I remember a cousin of mine worked for the government printing office for forever, but he lived in Fredericksburg, so he made that commute, which is not easy. That's where things really start slowing down is around Fredericksburg and Quantico, Virginia. Those Marines slow you down, man.
Traffic's wicked going through there. I don't care what time of day, afternoon or evening.
Yeah, you can relate to that, Fredericksburg and Quantico and slowing down. Yeah.
And speaking of my son, happy to announce the birth of their third son and my fourth grandson, Chris Ray Adams, born on August 26, went up last week.
Beautiful
child. To see him and doing it, all are doing well.
Uh-huh. What did you say to him?
I said, hey.
What else would a person from Nightdale say?
He popped him eyes open and looked at me.
Hey, who
and then
you?
He grinned, so
yeah, wow,
all was
go.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. That's magic. So what is happening at the Gerald's Laboratory?
Well, I'm into saving seed now, you know, to sell a lot of the pepper and eggplant and especially tomatoes that I do. The seed are not readily available or not available at all, so every summer I'm growing out plants to save seed. Now, I don't have to do the same ones each year, but I've greatly expanded the number of eggplants that I'm growing. I had 50 varieties of eggplant this past year, and I'm greatly expanding the peppers. I think next year I'll be up to between 90 and 100 different varieties of peppers. And I had some people bring me seed this past year. I had some people give me some plants this past year, a number of varieties from South America, one from the Ukraine, which is supposed to be the sweetest pepper in the world, Aleppo. So I'm growing those out, saving seed right now.
Ukraine is quite a farming region.
Yes, yes.
For wheat and a lot of different things, a lot of vegetables. They export a lot of things.
So I probably got another 30 days of saving seed because some of the hotter peppers are a little slower to produce, and I want to save as many as I can because for a lot of them, that'll be enough to last me for 4 or 5 years.
Wow. So how would you assess the tomato year in review?
Probably the worst year in the last 5 or 6 years.
Amen.
The super hot June is probably the biggest culprit because many of your varieties of tomatoes, if we have prolonged 93, 4, 5 degree weather, the pollen dries up before they can fruit. So you see pretty plant, pretty bloom, and no fruit. And then it was unbelievably dry. And then after that, we went into a monsoon.
Debbie.
So it was just the perfect storm of all the bad things that can happen if you're trying to grow tomatoes. Eggplant have withstood it pretty well. The peppers have probably withstood it the best. Tough year on cucurbits, squash, zucchini, and cucumbers. A lot more difficult to grow this year in a much shorter season probably for the squash and zucchini.
Because of the heat or the disease?
The heat. Heat was the biggest problem. Dry weather compounding it. Of course, you know, most good gardeners are going to water their plants, so the dry shouldn't be an issue, just creates more work for you. But the heat you don't have any control over, you can't make it cooler. And then on top of that, we went into all that rain right after it. It's just a kind of a perfect storm for mediocre results. Now, I've had a number of customers send me pictures. Looks to me like they were having, you know, so there could be some isolated places where people had better results than the previous years. But most of them, the people probably changed how they're growing them, maybe went to raise, did something that improved their chances. But in general, probably the worst, no, there's not no probably to it, is the worst tomato growing year I've had in the last 6 years.
One more time if we have time. Yeah. Again, Gerald, everyday folks ask me, how do I save tomato seeds? Go through the process.
Okay, there's two ways. The old school way, you squeeze the seeds out and the juice and that gel around them, put them in a cup, styrofoam cup, whatever, add water, and let them ferment. You'll put cheesecloth or something breathable over the top, takes 4, 5, 6 days, stinks to high heaven, think rotten tomato times 10. I have found a easier way to do it. I use the chemical OxyClean as a laundry detergent. I put a tablespoon in that cup of water and seeds, stir it up, 1 hour is eat that enzyme coating off of them, dump them into a coffee filter, or run them through a handheld strainer to wash the gunk off of them, and to dump them into a coffee filter. 30 days, they're dry, ready to go. Tomato seed will last for 10 years.
Yeah. Mm. Not too hard.
No, it's pretty. It's the only. So when you cut that tomato open, that little gel you see around the seeds, that's an enzyme that tomatoes produce to keep the roots from sprouting, those seed from sprouting inside the tomato, because quite near that would ruin your tomato. So that is just a natural thing that they do. And it's really the only vegetable that you have to kind of go to that trouble to clean that enzyme off the seed so they'll be viable for you the following year.
We're at Briar Point, a 55-plus independent living community, resort community, in beautiful Morrisville, growing Morrisville. It's in a nice location. Morrisville has just done so well, very near the airport, and, of course, so accessible to Raleigh and Durham, Chapel Hill, Cary, all of those areas. And here, weekly housekeeping, concierge, valet parking, grandkids room, pharmacy, bank, pets are welcome, game room, amazing chef, theater room, travel program. There's a small fee for accommodation for friends and family visiting, but you can have them here. It's no buy-in or a long-term fee. And, you know, Barry and Janice and all the folks here have done such a great job with this very, very new facility. And if you, you know, everybody loves giveaways, a free chef-made fresh pie for the first three people to come into our community, and a free two-day stay at the hospitality suite here, including all meals, for the first person to call our front desk to schedule a tour with Patricia. Gift basket for the first three people to schedule a tour between Saturday and Sunday, and lots of other things. Come take a tour. See why this place is becoming so popular. Steve is with us in Garner. Steve, good morning.
Hey, hi, guys.
Yeah, man, what's going on?
We're in Fayetteville right now.
Oh, okay. That's why you sound far away.
We're grandparenting.
Oh, okay.
Our daughter had a chance to go to Italy with her husband, and he's on a work detail over there.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah. And she said, you guys can come down and keep the kids, right?
Of course. Well, that's what you're there for.
That's what we're there for, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But anyway, I just thought I'd remind you guys that next Sunday is our first daylily meeting of the, or our daylily meeting of September.
Right.
At the J.C. Ralston Arboretum at 2 o'clock, and everybody's welcome to come. We had a good crowd last week. Or last month, so it was one of the best meetings we've had. We're trying to get, and the people that joined are a lot younger than the rest of them.
how about that? Well, you can always use younger people, right?
We can always use an influx of youth. Yes.
Somebody with a strong back.
Well, or just to keep the club going,
or somebody that can bend over.
But one of the things that somebody asked me about a couple of weeks ago about what we should be doing in the garden right now.
Yeah.
One of the things is to take the spent shapes out, the stalks, and just neaten up the garden. And while you're taking the shapes out, look for proliferation. It's a plant that's actually growing on the shape, and it's another way of dividing your daylily. You get it's the same plant that you're pulling shape out of. It's not a hybrid, and you can either pot it or put it in the ground next to the plant to increase the size of the plant. But it is a plant, and a lot of times, if you wait long enough, you can actually see roots growing out of that of the joint where the or the knuckle where the proliferation grows out of the stake. that's some of the things you can do while you're doing that. What?
Yeah, okay.
Put a little root cone on it before you put it in the ground.
All right.
And that's
there's some good tips.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're going to clean the garden anyway, but if you look for the proliferation, you get a bonus plant out of it.
Uh-huh. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
And he was talking about tomatoes. I must have been in one of those zones because I had the best tomato crop this year on my cherry tomatoes that I've had.
I hate you, Steve.
Well,
it's the Sun Gold, and they are the sweetest I think they've ever been this year.
Yeah.
I had a lot of comments from my frenemies about how good they were.
I bet so.
Hard to beat for a cherry tomato.
And they're good for you.
Yeah, and we like sautéing them, and we like putting them in soup, and we like, any way you can cook them.
Well, Steve, have fun there in Fayetteville and with your grandchildren, and thank you very much for calling.
Yeah, we're trying, and I hope my daughter's having a good time.
I'm sure she is.
All right. Love
Take
you.
Care. Bye-bye. Barry, could you join us here a minute? You've been running around. I wanted to get you for a minute. We only have about 3 minutes before the news, but we've had so much fun out here this morning, but there's so many perks for living here, like the house cleaning.
Right.
You don't want anybody to worry about stuff here. Uh-huh. So you provide so many services.
It's definitely all inclusive. You pay your one rent and everything else is paid for, your housekeeping, your utilities, your food, bus transportation. Everything is paid for once you move in. We call it all-inclusive.
Yeah. Concierge service, valet parking, grandkids can come visit.
Absolutely. We love the grandkids coming in. We'll be celebrating that on Sunday for National Grandparents Day. We'll have all the grandkids coming in and visiting their grandparents. And
you have a lot of, in addition to the services, lots of activities, recreational activities, fun things to do, good food to eat.
Yeah, they were just telling me on Friday they went to the winery and had a good time there.
Wow.
And then sometimes they go to the museum or the lake or, places like that. And so.
And you have quite a dining facility here.
We do. We've got many, many choices to eat. It's not just one or two items. We have the choice of two vegetables and your two proteins with the starch, hamburger, pizza, sandwiches, soup and salad bar that always has fresh fruit on it, and regular salad bar with always two different kinds of soup. And then from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day, you can always order any of that time. You can always order a hamburger, a pizza, a veggie burger, a sandwich, or anything like that.
Mm. Wow. Very nice. You have a lot. We mentioned the services. You have banking.
Yes, we
pharmacy have services.
Yeah, here. we have a general store here that's run by a pharmacist. He will take the prescriptions to his pharmacy, get them filled, bring them back, and deliver them to the residents. We have a home trust bank here. They have a branch that's just a couple of blocks or a couple of miles down the road, and they come here and we'll set up either by appointment or they come on Thursdays right now. And so
Very nice. Do
your banking right here. So a lot of our residents say this is like living on a cruise ship that doesn't leave port.
I can understand that. I've been on some nice cruise ships, and this does have that vibe. Rufus found a theater on the way to the bathroom. That's nice to have a theater.
It's a very nice theater, yeah. it's a 150-seat theater, plus it doubles as an auditorium for we have public service things. We had the Morrisville Police Department come a few weeks ago and help our residents understand how not to become a victim on the internet or over the telephone,
yeah,
scamming, that kind of thing. And so we do that as well as entertainment, like having Elvis coming in October.
How about that? Not everybody can say that.
That's right.
Barry, thank you.
Thank
More
you.
Coming up here on WPTF in Raleigh.